Teachers, Healers, and Ministers Class, Part 4.
Any other questions? Remember, pray for the disarming of all nuclear weapons and the dissolving of war consciousness in the mind of humanity. Keep the prayer up. The repetition. We want to repetition this over and over and over again. Now, I also want to tell you, if you don't take the vow of celibacy, don't do this, well, it doesn't matter to me. You can still come to class, it doesn't bother me then. It's for your benefit that you're doing it, and for your sensitivity, and for your self-discipline, for your willpower, for control of your desire and your passions. That's what it'll do for you. Control your passions, control your desires. You'll find that your emotional body will come under control that wasn't under control because the energy is going up now. I have dynamic emotions, I'll tell you. They are really heavy. And I could probably blow everybody away here with the negative aspect of emotions if I poured them out in that direction, because I know what that can do. I had to learn to take that energy up. I tried to say, destroy my emotional body. I was going to destroy the vehicle. And it seemed like the more I tried to stop it and bind it, the more powerful it got. You see, as you push on an explosive, you know, and you push it down, well, it wants to push out more, doesn't it? Well, you've got, this is like dynamite in you. It's like a power of explosion. And you may even feel explosives of energy where you pop up to a new awareness. You'll be walking along and boom, you'll have a realization. You go, sometimes it's almost breathtaking. It'll take your breath, your physical breath, and go, you go, like an awe. It's called an awe. You go, I've seen people do that. They go, it's that in-breath and that feeling. Do you feel it? It goes up. Your head gets a little light. My legs are tingling from it. Yeah. You'll get that as you practice this exercise. Okay, where's the mystic's path? You couldn't find the mystic's path. Boy, they still got to do the 10th week again and again?
I recorded the whole thing on tape.
Boy, in your, a legend in your own mind. No.
I felt good about it all down. I thought, this is going to take that off.
I spoke it in my voice. Okay, anything else? I want to thank you all, and I'd like to pray for you all right now. Dear Father, Mother God, I come to you, the one without a second, in whom we all live and move and have our being. I speak in the science of the spoken word, in the power of solidifying the thought. And I ask you, God, for a special blessing upon this master class. For each person that's here, dear God, give them the gold and white and crystallite channel. Let them be masters, rainbow masters, and let each color of their rainbow be brilliant and vibrant. Let them complete this attunement, dear God. Give them strength. Send an angel of encouragement, an angel of protection, an angel of power. Send the virtues and the arcing angels. Send the powers of the cosmic forces that check all evil forces and protect this class. And God, we call forth and revivify now the rainbow angels for these class. Dear God, we ask that the best come for each one here, that they have self-mastery, have the purity and perfection of the connection with you that brings them into the awareness that they are yours, that they are your children, your creations. And we thank you, God. And we ask for the stimulating and uplifting breath of the Holy Spirit to grace their lives, to breathe tranquility upon the soul, to bring peace deep within. Let thy special guidance guide each one here in a way that they can understand. And dear God, we ask now to break free all bondage of the past. Let all these tethers of the past now be broken free, no longer bound. Let them move forward with all the energies that were bound up there to move forward in a momentum forward. And we ask now a clear path in the forward movement so that they may move octaves and quantum leaps in consciousness to be in thy presence and instill in their heart a love for you, God, that will lift them and sustain them even in the times of trouble and trials. Let them react out of your power and out of your light, and God be there to guide them through thy Holy Spirit's grace. And we pray all this sustained in Christ's holy and precious Spirit forever and forever. Amen and amen. Om Tet Sit. Om. I am that. Blessings. God bless you.
Pam, as we have it in the astrophysics handbook, this here says, be true to the three M's and the three W's, the mantra of the meditation of Master Self. Give God your work, your witness, and your wealth. That's turning these three M's upside down. Be true to the mantra, the mantra. What you're saying, what you're repeating, that's what your mantra is. The things you were saying over and over and over again. And so when you put in a positive saying, a sound that has meaning, then that acts in the subconscious mind as a foundation and strength for that power. And once you start building that power, you shouldn't betray it. For the power then can become, instead of an ally, an enemy. In the law of identity, Om Tet Sit Om, I am that I am. We can build this power up in our subconscious mind, and we must be true to that power in the way that when we say, I am that, whatever that is, you are ready to instantly have it manifest. See, there are different speeds of vibration, and your body is vibrating at one speed. Your emotional body is vibrating at another speed. Your mental body is vibrating at another speed. Your psyche is vibrating at another speed. Your higher abstract levels of consciousness are vibrating at another speed. Your Atman and spirit body, they are vibrating at a speed. The universal powers on all of their planes and dimensions are all vibrating at their speed. And God's vibrating at his speed. And when we look at the difference between the vibration of the physical body and God's speed, we see a great, great span of experience, a great span of vibration. See, as we get closer to God, the speed becomes faster and faster until we come to God and then everything is still. But it's still in full conscious awareness. It isn't becoming less and less to nothing. It's becoming expanded into the infinite, into God's presence, everywhere in all things, touching you right at this moment, instantly. That's God's speed, instantly. So God, to have instant speed, is present. And so God is present right here, right now, touching each and every individual. But not each and every individual is aware of God. God's presence is always there. You know, I wondered where the masters went. You know, they said, well, they turned to light. Where did they go? They're right here. They're right present. Every great being is right here, right now, touching us in God. And when we are one with God, we are touching all things in that oneness. And that was the ascension. That was to come to presence, the reality to be in all things, as all things, and no longer separate from things. So I believe separateness is hell. To be separate, to be alone, to be isolated from all other things. I would believe that is hell. To lose complete identity of self and consciousness, that is hell. That is the word that we can agree upon means that. We can say that is the darkness, and we can agree upon that. But each word has a meaning to us and has a power for us. And the mantra is a word that gives you power of principle, power that can do many different things. And so that's why we're true to the mantra. In the meditation, it is a practice to be with God, to be in God's presence, to be in the mystical union. The meditation starts by withdrawal of attention from this dimension and all of the things that we usually pay attention to free ourselves from the limited image of ourselves by all of our associations with time, space, circumstance, with matter. To reach a point of being completely free to realize that we are an individual. That is called the self and the self-conscious life. And some Baptists teach you to go to the self, but that's not the end of the path. That's just the beginning of the path. And the path doesn't even begin in God consciousness until you've reached yourself. Free from the world of illusion, free from all the transitory things of non-reality that is going on, things that you take so serious and so dramatic in your life that in a day they're like yesterday's newspapers. They're useless. We can wrap the garbage in them. But we take and we get so hung up on those things. And then we get so bound in a body that is full of urine and feces and mucus and blood and all of these things, and we think this is something. You are not the body, you are not any of these emotions, you're not the mind. You are the pure self, and that's the first step to enlightenment, is to reach that point of self-conscious being in meditation, and then merge with God, the mystical union. I remember once my grandmother telling me she was practicing being everywhere. When I was physical, I asked her physical things. But it wasn't until I was 35 that I understood what she was doing. And I asked her that when I was 8 years old. So I was unenlightened all those years to being in the presence of God, to be at one. And it wasn't until I was at that state that I realized what my grandmother was saying. She was practicing being everywhere. God's presence is omni, meaning everywhere, present, omnipresence. And so to come to that speed of instant consciousness, instant manifestation, is to be in that presence. I am, I am, I am. And in that meditation, first to reach the self, and then to reach God consciousness, the mystical union. Once you have reached this mystical union and you realize yourself and one with God, it's like a drop in an ocean. Now we can see the drop if we take it out of the ocean and let it fall, but once it goes back in the ocean, we don't see the drop. But the drop is still there. All the molecules, the atoms of the drop, is still there. It is still there complete. Did you know most of the time the ocean doesn't move? It is energy that moves through the ocean, and the waves just raise and fall due to that current, that energy moving through them. Many times those drops don't go any place. The tide comes in, the tide goes out, and the pool of oil that is over the monument in Pearl Harbor of a ship that had sunk many, many years ago stays in one place, even though the tide goes in and out. The drop is still there, even though the ocean is moving, the drop is still complete, you see. And so you, in that state of realizing I am the drop in the ocean, I am one with God, that is the Master Self. And to be true to the Master Self. Not the dominating aspect of mind that wants to dominate everything. This is not mastering. This is domination. Not that part of yourself that is separate from all other things and just yourself. That is not the Master Self. That is loneliness. Because you come to all oneness instead of at oneness, atoned. You become alone instead of atoned. And so it's that point where you and God are clearly at one. The presence of God is with you. That is the Master Self. That is the power. That's where the supernatural power comes from. And to get into that presence is to love God, to praise God, to be with God. And in this praise and in this loving God, the Spirit of God lifts us to that presence. It quickens our body, our emotions, our mind, our soul, our spirit divine. It quickens the vibration, lifting up each atom, shaking from it all those things that are of lesser vibration or of transitory states. So by union with God over and over and over again, we lift our bodies, we lift our emotions, we lift our minds. It's being conscious of that, because feeling one with God is to be one with perfection, to be one perfect and pure, to be back to your original state. You know, none of us are at the state of our original creation. And if you look, you're now a conglomeration of all your experiences, and in your psyche, you're a conglomeration of all those experiences. But your original state of consciousness, this original Master Self, is perfect, pure, whole and all, innocent of any of this entanglement with matter. It is always perfect. It is always pure. It is always all. It is colorless, attributeless. It has no limits, no bondage. It is neither darkness nor light. It has no duality to it. And there's nothing opposed to it. For it is one. And in that state, that is the Master Self. At that point, that purity, that perfection has instant supernatural manifestation. Once you've gained power by the mantra, by the meditation, and by the Master Self, you give this to God. Now, why are we giving things to God if He has everything? God experiences through His creations. Stop and think of the magnitude of that statement. God experiences through His creations, which are God. For in the beginning there was only one. So everything comes from that one. So everything that is created comes from that one creation, that one substance, God. And you may realize you're God, but you may be realizing it at that individual stage where so many got to and realized that and came to personality and then wanted to dominate everyone else. I'm God. Not everybody was allowed to have this practice, you know. Not everyone was allowed to merge at that state. I mean, that was for holy men and emperors and kings and rulers. That wasn't for the common people. You know, keep the people ignorant. They're easier to control. Keep them ignorant of their spiritual heritage, their human heritage. They're much easier to control, you know. This is the philosophy of many of those that have reached these higher states, but never have reached the mystical union or to becoming one with God. They got to that point of individual self-conscious realization, and some have come back thinking they are God from that point and making everyone worship them as God. Well, in your mantra, you will gain a power. In the meditation, you gain a power. In the presence of this Master Self that you truly are, you gain this power. And the only way that it is going to have any expression is if you use what you gain. Now, some have meditated for years in places of peace that are continually in turmoil in the outer world. What hypocrites and liars, for they have not really obtained peace. Otherwise, they would put it into action. You're to take those things that are in you and to exercise them. It's work. It's work to put those things into action because you have the resistance of all of the others that don't believe and do not put those things into action. When you realize truth in yourself, it is an obligation to be the truth and not to agree with those that are not the truth. To just go along with it, just to flow with it. There will be a resistance because you must say, if you are in a situation and you are living the truth and this is a lie going on, it is up to you to say something, otherwise you have the sin of omission. You have the sin of omission. You did not say the truth, and you let your brothers and your sisters in darkness. And some are hypocrites. They practice, they go, they read holy books, they do these things, but they don't say it to their brother and sister because maybe their brother and sister may not like them for saying that. I would rather not be liked personally and have the individual's soul saved and have that information to them than not to have said it. It is so important that when God reveals something to us that we share it, and it is work to share. But I'll tell you, work becomes grace when it is given to God. Work becomes grace when it's given to God. When you're in the grace of God, there is no more work to it. But at first, everything that you do, you must work at. You had to work at your ABCs, you had to work at your 1-2-3s, you had to work at your English, at your history, at all of the different subjects that you learned. You had to work at these things. But now you have them. Do you, every time you go to spell a word, do you have to go back and say your ABCs again? No, they are there. They are there in a foundation in your consciousness coming up to support the word that is being spelled. In your heart, you'll have information, knowledge of what that meaning is and that purpose to what is coming up. So as you put in these techniques that we've been giving you, when you go to bring forth this truth, this peace, this love, this wisdom, this purity within you, it will take this work, but at one point you will go into grace, just like you went into the grace of the ABCs, the 1-2-3s. Why don't you come closer? I promise I don't find you. You can come closer. Come on. Come. I promise I don't. Maybe I should move. You don't come to me, I have to come to you. That starts receiving. If you get it and you don't give it, you lose it. It's like spending time. If you don't spend this minute you've lost it. If you don't spend this minute right here, present, you've lost that. If you don't consciously use this moment, that is a moment or an impulse of your life that is gone. To live every moment, to be conscious every moment, is life more abundant. And when you get this peace, this love, this truth, this wisdom, these enlightenments within you, you are to put those into action. And action takes work. It takes work to get off of the old position to take yourself to the new position. And you're not alone. Do you think that once you start giving, okay, I'm going to get in a situation, I'm going to be all alone? And once you start doing things for God, then God is doing things for you. See, it's a lot of people want to use God. Okay, I think I'll use God to do this and use God to do that. And they get it backwards, you know. It's like instead of G-O-D, it's D-O-G. Go get him. And we seek God on things. God wants to give us everything. He loves us all. And when you're in that presence, there's no doubt. You will never doubt it again. But if you've never been there, if you've never reached that mystical union, they sound like pretty words. Sound like ideals that are off someplace. It's pie in the sky. It's not here. I didn't get it. Did you do what was necessary to get it? Did you persist till you succeeded? Did you almost get it and say, oh, well, I guess it's time for meditation to stop, so you stop the meditation short of getting it? I'm only supposed to go 20 minutes, so I will just go 20 minutes. I'm only supposed to go a half hour, I'll only go a half hour. And in 29 minutes, you get real close to God, then you say, okay, I've only got 1 minute to go, all right, and you come back. You see, you have to do what is necessary. That's sustained, concentrated, one point, attention on God, and it takes work. It's work. Then it says, give God the witness. I hear so many say, I did this, I did that, I did this. God does these things. God does all things through you. And when you're conscious of that, then the illusion, the negative forces, the powers, have no way of attacking you unless you're open to that. Unless you open things. Unless you open your mind to that belief, your heart to that kind of knowledge, unless you go around those kind of things. It's like someone jumping in the river saying, I'm not going to get wet. In some of the things we do. You can't be in the presence of God without witnessing that. Teaching others how to go to that presence. What did you do? How did you have the overcoming to attain that state? Glimpses. What happens is we get a glimpse and then our ego comes in. What's that? Oh, I want to feel that. That's so wonderful. That was so great. Oh, and you got just a little taste of it. But once you start sharing that glimpse, something happens. It comes back. And as you're sharing it, it continues to flow in you. And you feel it. You feel it in you. You know it in you. You see it in you. But you're not talking of that. You are that. You witness what God has done for you. If you've overcome, through the power of God, I've overcome this. And give God the glory. You want God to help you? You want God to be with you all the time? Be with Him all the time. Get off of I, me, and mine. I'll tell you what, people will look at you strangely. They'll look at you and say, fanatic. Because they have fallen from that original self, that original state that God created you, perfect, pure, whole, and all. You're still part of the ocean, but you're not aware that it's right here, right now, unless you attune to that, attune to that witnessing. God wants your wealth. He wants you to spend your wealth for God's work, for good things. And you know it's a good thing to have a nice environment for yourself as a glory to God. It's a good thing for you to have nice things as a glory to God. But if they're for ego possession, see, it's not the substance itself, it's the attitude towards what you have. Some people come and say, well, gee, Cat lives down in the trailer. Why is he living when he could live up here? I like living in the trailer. I feel the presence of God. I'm uninterrupted by people there. I choose where I like to go. Sometimes I sleep in a mansion. Sometimes I sleep on the ground. But I choose where I want to go. And I don't get conditioned to one thing or another. So when I leave that, I'm longing after, oh, I wish I was there again. If it's going to do that to me, I'm not free anymore. So I would rather discipline myself not to get used to those things than to long after them, you see. But I've been in very beautiful places. And when I gave up one home, I've had hundreds of homes to live, you see. It's how your attitude is towards that. If you have an automobile and someone comes and takes the automobile, are you ruined? Are you ruined? Some people are, because they're attached to the automobile. They say, mine. Those that have little, those that are poor, will be taken away from. And you know that no matter how much substance that anybody's had on the earth, they have been poor. Really, look at the infinite wealth of all creation, the wealth of eternal existence, the wealth of consciousness. See, someone, they think wealth, they think, oh, just give money. God wants the wealth of your knowledge to be shared with others, to give of your wealth. If you have health, to show others how to be healthy. If you know how to dance, show others know how to dance. You see, to share the wealth of your experiences. Don't think of wealth just as money. You have a wealth of talent that is worth more than, it's more priceless than money. And to share that, you see. But some hide it. They do it for themselves over here, alone in their little rooms. Oh, I'm not good enough to show it to anybody else. When it may make some soul happy, a joyful experience, we're here to share with one another, you see. But we get so independent. There are three stages of consciousness, the dependent stage. When you came into this dimension, you had two guides here, or at least one, a mother and a father. So when you came into this dimension, God gave you some guides. Do you think when you go into the spiritual realm, He's not going to give you someone to guide you there? You have a heavenly father and a heavenly mother that can guide you, just as your earthly mother, earthly father has guided you. And they have guided you in the way of your wealth. And they have shared wealth of their consciousness with you. But that was a dependent stage. They had to carry you and feed you and clothe you and take care of you and keep you from harm in the world till you got big enough to take care of yourself. Then you're about 12 or 13 or 14, say, I can do it myself. Remember that. And you get independent. You weren't always independence. You became independent. You weren't always in the dependent stage. Now you're in the independent stage. The time of dependence is over. The time of independence has started. And now you grow in independence. But there comes a stage of maturity where it's called interdependence, where you must leave the independent stage to become interdependent with all other things. It is so arrogant for the independent one to think, oh gee, I'm going down the grocery store and they've got to have groceries for me. I'm going down for me. It's just a business. We take the people out of businesses. We take the people out of the services and things, and we talk about them as objects, the store, the utility company. Well, who's running those things? Human beings with minds, with feelings, with bodies. And if it wasn't for them doing that job, we wouldn't have that service. We wouldn't have that benefit of going down and getting that. And so are we thanking God for those that are serving, or are we condemning companies?